From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Thursday edition, with unrest continuing in cities across the nation and still simmering here in our nation's capital, many are asking, what is the way forward for America? Dr. Ben Carson joins me for that conversation in just a moment. And Americans have a right to peacefully protest, and what happened in Minneapolis, Minnesota is a problem that must be addressed. But Attorney General William Barr says there is evidence showing foreign actors, Antifa, and others are hijacking the George Floyd protest to take advantage of the crisis in an effort to further divide the nation and to advance their own agendas. Congressman Michael Guest, a member of the House Homeland Security Committee, is here with more on that story. As seen in the George Floyd case, police brutality is real, but it is not a reflection of the vast majority of men and women who protect and serve the public in uniform. As police officers now being targeted in many cities across the nation, what impact could this have on policing in the U.S.? What steps can be taken to restore confidence in those who wear the badge? How can we address these issues of police brutality? I'll be joined by my former chief of police that I served with, retired police chief and former sheriff of East Baton Rouge Parish, Greg Ferries. He is now the chief criminal deputy at the East Feliciana Parish Sheriff's Office. And it was 31 years ago on this date that the Chinese People's Liberation Army fired live ammunition into the pro-democracy protesters in Tiananmen Square, killing hundreds, if not thousands. One of the protesters who was there 31 years ago is now in the United States as a human rights religious freedom advocate. Bob Fu joins me later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me encourage you to download the Stand Firm app. Not only will it enable you to stay in touch with Washington Watch, but it'll give you tools to be a engaged and informed citizen, protecting your republic. Riots continue to rage, although calming down a bit in some cities. New York still seems to be a hot spot, all in response to the tragic death of George Floyd. But is violence the way to respond? How do we bring Americans together? It is critical to the future of our republic. Joining me now to talk about this is Dr. Ben Carson, Secretary of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Dr. Carson, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Always good to be with you. Thank you.
Dr. Carson, you, as a physician, you have a calming presence, and that this situation is no exception to that. You have spoken to the situation. It is real. What we're seeing happening in the streets is in many cases, legitimate protesters trying to address something that has been long-running in our country. But some are taking advantage of this, and it's setting us back. What is the way forward for America?
Well, you know, this is actually a golden opportunity for us to do something about some of the relationships that have broken down in our society, including the relationship between civilians and police officers. There are those who would like you to believe that these kinds of incidents, what happened to George Floyd, are common. They're not. They're very uncommon, in fact. And in the last year, there were 10 unarmed black men killed by policemen in the United States. So that's 10 too many. There's no question about that. But the point being, this is not an epidemic. Mm-hmm. What we need to recognize is that legitimate protest is one of the foundational pillars of this nation. The greatest civic change ever in this country was brought about by Dr. Martin Luther King, complete nonviolence. That's what people need to take away from that. And forget about the ideal of always blaming somebody else for what's going on. I always say, look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? Are you helping? Are you helping your fellow man? Are you facilitating his betterment? Or are you exacerbating the situation? And if we all begin to think that way, it makes a big difference. Right now, we're in a place where we say, or the president has to do this, or the governor has to do this, or the mayor has to do this. No, you have to do it. You start right with yourself in your own home.
Yeah, we all have a part to play in our republic. I mean, that's the only way it works. But I want to go back to this issue. As you mentioned, 10 unarmed black men killed in the United States this past year. Statistically, we can look at it from that standpoint. But I want to look at it from the standpoint of this isn't the first time we've had, riots, protests that have occurred as the result of these shootings. There's got to be something deeper here that every time one of these happens, we see a response. Are we listening to one another? Is there something here that we have to address that's longer running, deeper into the American experiment that we just have not yet addressed?
There's no question that there remains a degree of fairness that some people just disregard. I can certainly remember over the course of my lifetime a number of times when the color of my skin dictated how I was treated or how I was regarded. And, fortunately for me, I have something that some people don't have, and that is a relationship with God and with Jesus Christ, which tells me I have to forgive everybody and not hold grudges and not let that hatred that can begin to grow in your heart cause you to become somebody else and to act in a way that's foreign to the way that you would normally react. And I don't want to sound like a preacher, but really, that's the real solution. It's a change of heart of people. And, unless you get that, it's all cosmetic. The other thing to recognize is that since the beginning of this country, there have been people who have fundamentally wanted to change this country. They don't like the system that we have. And, in order to really do that, you've got to create dissatisfaction with what's going on. So every time there's an opportunity, it takes usually 2 or 3 days, in come a bunch of people who are troublemakers. They give the legitimate protesters a bad name, quite frankly, and they hide behind peaceful, legitimate protesters and create havoc. And you can tell that they obviously are not, for the people that they claim to be for, because they're destroying those people's neighborhoods
right. And
their livelihoods.
Right. And I want to go back to something else that you mentioned here just a moment ago. Personally, that relationship with God, I see that as the way forward for the nation, in that people that have that relationship that may come from different backgrounds begin to model what true unity and brotherhood looks like. But those same people that take advantage of these protests come many from the same movement that has been trying to remove God, and that experience that people might have with him that could put them on the right path. They've been trying to remove him from the public square for decades now.
That's exactly true. And, when you remove God as the center of your life, you have to replace it with something else. And that something else is unlikely to be very good. And it doesn't permeate love. God is love. It permeates hatred and resentment and revenge and all of those things that you see coming out. You look at the hatred that some of these people manifest toward the police, willing to kill someone because they have a uniform on. Don't know this person, have no relationship with them, but you hate them so much you want to kill them. Where does that come from? That certainly does not come from any Judeo-Christian values that were utilized in the formation of this country.
And that those Judeo-Christian values are the glue that holds this country together, and as we lose it, we begin to see the fragmentation of our society. Dr. Carson, I want to ask you this question, because you said we each have to look in the mirror and say, what am I doing? And I think in this situation, where we are, and I'm very concerned I mean, I'm very concerned where I see our nation, because there are those that are coming in underneath of these legitimate complaints, these legitimate protests, and are furthering their agenda to fracture and, I think, potentially destroy our country, leading us, even the Attorney General says, leading us towards civil war. I think what we have to do is look in that mirror and answer the question, what do I need to do right now? What would be your advice to Americans? And we're talking here primarily to men and women like you and I that are believers in Jesus Christ, that are Christians, that follow God. What do we need to be doing to model a way forward?
I would say just ask yourself, what is my sphere of influence? Who are the people that I have the most influence over? And start with those individuals and be very Christ-like, be very caring, be concerned about them. If you're a husband tonight and you usually, just go home and turn the television on and, grab something to drink, instead, go home tonight and say to your wife, that's a beautiful dress or a beautiful sweater. Sometimes I just don't realize how lucky I am. See what that does. And, if your wife just, say to your husband, I just appreciate you so much. You do so many things, and I generally don't say thank you. And I want to show you how grateful I am, and do something to show them how grateful you are. Same thing with the children. Don't just let them go off to their room and turn on the computer and isolate themselves for the rest of the night. Engage them. They may not like it at first, but I guarantee you they will like it if you continue to do it.
Yeah, and build our influence out from there. It begins in our homes, and of course,
friends,
what we see in it,
coworkers, all the people that you associate with, it builds out. It makes a huge difference in the way that they treat you and the way that they begin to treat other people.
And we've been led to believe, the media, as you say, point to the White House, point to the governor's mansion, and say they need to solve this problem. We all have to take responsibility. This is our country. It is a country made up of the people. It's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And if it's going to work, the people got to be involved.
And wasn't it refreshing, during the disturbance in Minnesota and in New York, to see some of the citizens come out and protect their own property when the police were, I guess, maybe forbidden to do anything? They came out and they protected it themselves. They protected their neighbors' properties. It's a shame that that has to happen, but it's encouraging to see it.
It is. We have to come together if America is to stay united. Dr. Ben Carson, as always, great to have you on the program. We are so grateful to have you as a part of the President's Cabinet, your calming presence, your love for America, and your devotion to God. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of this break. Attorney General today saying that there are those infiltrating these protests to advance their own agendas, both foreign and domestic. We'll be joined next by a member of the Homeland Security Committee in the House, Congressman Michael Guest, Mississippi. That's coming up next. Don't go away.
As coronavirus restrictions begin to ease, many Americans are grappling with how to adapt to the changing times. The last few months have transformed how worshipers think about church and how they are fed spiritually. While many churches are conducting services through live streams, drive-in services, and other means, questions still remain. What practical steps can we take? Are current restrictions appropriate? Do these restrictions violate the Constitution or religious freedom protections? Family Research Council has a new publication discussing religious liberty issues and offering practical guidelines for how churches and houses of worship can begin to operate as our country opens back up. Visit frc.org/churchguidelines to view this resource and learn more. As always, visit frc.org/church for our full list of resources for churches in the time of coronavirus.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man wherever books are sold.
Stay informed with what's going on in our nation's capital. Make a difference in your community and keep your friends and family up to date with Family Research Council's new and improved Stand Firm mobile app. Like never before, this new tool is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. On the Stand Firm app, you can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the new Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes on our media player while conveniently going about your day. And you can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on our main feed so you can stay up to date on local and national news. Download the Stand Firm app on your mobile browser by visiting frc.org/app. That's frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, just a little while ago here in Washington, D.C., the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, held a press conference in which he said, while many have peacefully expressed their anger and grief, others have hijacked protests to engage in lawlessness, violent rioting, arson, looting of businesses and private property, assaults on law enforcement and innocent people, and even the murder of a federal agent. The Attorney General went on to say that while the vast majority engaged in these peaceful protests are demonstrators exercising their First Amendment rights, there is evidence that at some of these demonstrations, there are groups exploiting the opportunity to engage in looting. And even worse, there are some who are hijacking the protest to pursue their own separate and violent agendas, including some foreign actors seeking to destabilize the United States. Joining me now to talk more about this, Congressman Michael Guest, who serves the 3rd Congressional District of Mississippi. He serves on the Homeland Security Committee. Congressman Guest, welcome to Washington Watch.
Tony, thank you for having me, and I won't agree 100% with the statements of the Attorney General. We have seen throughout these recent protests violent extremist groups, Antifa, other anarchist type of groups who have attempted to hijack what in many cases have been peaceful demonstrations and use those peaceful demonstrations to turn those into situations where they are creating destruction and chaos. And we've seen that play out on our televisions through media coverage. We have seen, at least recently, as of yesterday and today, that many of those violent protests are now continuing in a peaceful capacity. But I believe that there is evidence that groups such as Antifa, that other anarchist groups are using these peaceful demonstrations to conduct assaults on law enforcement, to destroy property, to loot, to steal, to riot. And it is saddening what we have seen happen across our country over the last several days.
Without question. In fact, I'm going to talk in my next segment of the program about the targeting of law enforcement officers. Literally dozens have been injured in the last few days. But for the benefit of our listeners, Congressman Guest, Antifa, what's their goal and mission? What's their purpose?
you know, Antifa is they're a loosely affiliated group of left-leaning activists. They are not organized with a particular leader, but they are followers of a shared philosophy. They operate in chapters or cells across our country. We really began seeing the beginning of Antifa here in the United States in roughly 2007 in the Pacific Northwest. We've seen that membership grow after the election of President Trump in 2016. And Antifa supports public demonstrations, but they also believe that the use of violence in many cases is justified. In many of the rallies that they attend, you will see them dressed in all black. They will wear a mask in an attempt to hide their identity. You know, but one thing about Antifa is they've been criticized by both the right and the left. Back in 2017, when Antifa was involved in protest in Berkeley, California, current Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, criticized that group and called for Antifa members to be held accountable and to actually be prosecuted. And so they have a history of hijacking peaceful protest, and they're often show acts of violence toward law enforcement, which is what we have seen in these recent recent protests. You've seen law enforcement property destroyed, whether they be law enforcement vehicles, police stations which have been overrun. We've seen individual officers who have been targeted and assaulted, including the death of a single officer. And so, you know, many of the violent acts that we're seeing in these protests follow the very playbook that Antifa seeks to promote in hijacking these lawful, protected protests and then turning them into very violent acts.
Yeah, and the very dangerous aspect of that is, you know, our society works by the rule of law. It's the only thing that holds the pieces together. And when you have those committed to lawlessness, it creates a chain reaction in which there is greater law enforcement presence and action, which exacerbates the situation between the public and the law enforcement, and it becomes it can quickly spiral out of control. Let me ask you this, Congressman Guest, the Attorney General making reference to foreign actors as well that are trying to take advantage of this. What do we know about that?
You know, I think we're seeing nations play both sides of these protests. They are attempting to incite both the right and the left. I think that there is no doubt that there are nations across our globe who would seek to undermine our democracy. And if they can sow seeds of dissent among our citizenship and they can create distrust between a government and its citizens, that they are accomplishing their mission to destabilize our country. And so I believe that there are groups, both domestic groups, there are foreign groups who are going to continue to try to promote violence, going to continue to try to promote chaos in an attempt to destabilize our government.
Your sense of how long we may be seeing these protests, these activities going on? Any idea?
You know, I'm very optimistic that over the last couple of days that the protests have remained peaceful. I support peaceful protests. I believe that we have a First Amendment right to protest, to address grievances to our government. What I don't support is the lawlessness activity that accomplished the protests in some of our major urban cities, where you saw the looting, where you saw the assaults, where you saw other violent acts.
All right, Congressman Michael Guest, thanks so much for taking time to join us this afternoon.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Congressman Michael Guest of Mississippi. Find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, as I mentioned, police officers are being targeted for violent acts across the country, some just being injured in the protests, but some being targeted, shot at, stabbed, dozens, in fact, into the hundreds. When we come back, we'll talk about how do we protect law enforcement, but how do we protect the public from law enforcement to deal with these issues of police brutality? We'll be joined by former Baton Rouge police chief and former sheriff of East Baton Rouge. He was a chief when I was there, Greg Ferries. That's next. Don't go away. Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold.
Stay informed with what's going on in our nation's capital. Make a difference in your community. And keep your friends and family up to date with Family Research Council's new and improved Stand Firm mobile app. Like never before, this new tool is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. On the Stand Firm app, you can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the new Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes on our media player while conveniently going about your day. And you can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on our main feed so you can stay up to date on local and national news. Download the Stand Firm app on your mobile browser by visiting frc.org/app. That's frc.org/app.
This is Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. As we were just talking about, dozens of police officers from coast to coast have been attacked and injured in the violence that has spread across the country after the tragic death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Activist groups are also demanding that police be defunded. How is law enforcement handling the current crisis? What needs to be addressed in law enforcement to prevent these types of episodes of police brutality? Joining me now to take a look at the unfolding situation is retired Baton Rouge Police Chief Greg Ferris. He has also served as sheriff in East Baton Rouge Parish as well. Greg, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tony. Good afternoon.
There's no question from the evidence that we've seen that the tactics used by Chauvin in Minneapolis, Minnesota, was excessive beyond the acceptable use of force to detain George Floyd. I think we can agree that that was a bit much.
Yes. What it appeared to me from the video that the whole country has seen, it looked like a karate choke applied with a knee, and that is in no way an accepted police restraint tactic. And, of course, in addition to being a horrible tactic that seems to have resulted in the death, the optics of an officer kneeling on someone's neck with his hands in his pockets as if this was an everyday occurrence were just awful.
But there is evidence to suggest that this officer had a history of the excessive use of force.
It appears from public sources that he had been involved in 3 prior shootings and had 17 complaints. And the total result of those 17 complaints were 2 letters of reprimand. And as you remember from your police career, Tony, a letter of reprimand is the mildest form of discipline.
So this guy had been around about 19 years. So, I mean, that's averaging almost one a year. Does somebody like that continue as a law enforcement officer? I mean, it seems like there would be some type of either, you know, going to additional training to make sure that these things aren't happening, that they're working within the proper guidelines. I mean, this is a powder keg in today's world.
It very much is. And although, of course, I can't speak directly to the Chauvin situation. I do know that Minneapolis has a police union contract that is pretty restrictive on how you can deal with disciplinary complaints, and that is true of a lot of major cities that have unionized police forces. I work with one in Baton Rouge, and as you no doubt know, but probably your audience doesn't, under that system, under a union system and a civil service system, an officer has a property right to his job, and it is very difficult to discipline. It's very difficult to intervene early and get rid of a guy who, in this case, certainly appears to have been a trouble cop and certainly seems to have exhibited that early on. And it clearly was not dealt with.
Now Chief, we'll be very clear here. The vast majority of men and women who serve in uniform do so to protect and serve the public. They go in with the right motives. They go in, and it is a tough job. And you certainly can become hardened in the process, and that's something you have to watch for in today's environment. But would you say that as we've seen these episodes over the last few years spring up, that it's a problem that has to be addressed?
It is a problem that has to be addressed. And, Tony, I would absolutely agree with your statement a moment ago. The vast, vast majority, 90, probably 95-plus percent, of the of law enforcement officers, sheriff's deputies, municipal police officers, state troopers, are excellent public servants, do not use excessive force, do their jobs. But again, harking back to your career as well as mine, you and I both know that even in a quote-unquote bad neighborhood, the great majority of people in that bad neighborhood just want to raise their family, go to work, make a living, and live in peace. It's that small percentage that poisons a neighborhood, and it's the small percentage that poisons police agencies if you don't deal with it. Unfortunately, some of the labor contracts these cities have agreed to make that very difficult.
Chief, we're almost up against a break. Can you stick around through the break? Because I want to ask you one more question, and that is, as these officers are being targeted, and we saw this actually 4 years ago in Baton Rouge, where both the sheriff's deputies and city police officers were targeted and shot and killed. This has an effect upon those who go into law enforcement, which could actually make law enforcement make the problem even worse. And so I want to talk about that. If you'll stick around through the break, I want to get your response to that on the other side. Folks, former Baton Rouge Police Chief Greg Ferris, my guest. He has also served the unique distinction of serving as the sheriff in East Baton Rouge Parish as well. When he comes back, and when we come back, I want to get him to answer that question. And then we have coming up, Bob Fu joins us. Bob Fu was at Tiananmen Square 31 years ago. You recall what happened? Well, he's going to tell us because he was there. He's going to talk about what's happening today in China. That is coming up next on Washington Watch. Don't go away. Still a lot more to come.
As coronavirus restrictions begin to ease, many Americans are grappling with how to adapt to the changing times. The last few months have transformed how worshipers think about church and how they are fed spiritually. While many churches are conducting services through live streams, drive-in services, and other means, questions still remain. What practical steps can we take? Are current restrictions appropriate? Do these restrictions violate the Constitution or religious freedom protections? Family Research Council has a new publication discussing religious liberty issues and offering practical guidelines for how churches and houses of worship can begin to operate as our country opens back up. Visit frc.org/churchguidelines to view this resource and learn more. As always, visit frc.org/church for our full list of resources for churches in the time of coronavirus.
Masculinity in America has never been under attack the way it is today. We've reached the point where the term itself is considered toxic or offensive to many. The consistent message in our nation is that masculinity by nature is bad and is the root cause of many of the problems plaguing our society. From his experience as a military combat officer and ordained minister of the gospel, Lieutenant General William Boykin has seen and dealt with firsthand the breakdown of leadership in our nation by the lack of godly men living lives of biblical purpose. In his latest book, Man to Man, Rediscovering Masculinity in a Challenging World, he addresses the essential elements of manhood as a provider, an instructor, a defender, a battle buddy, and a chaplain, and explains how to personally develop these traits and pass them to the next generation. Get your copy today of Man to Man, wherever books are sold.
Stay informed with what's going on in our nation's capital. Make a difference in your community and keep your friends and family up to date with Family Research Council's new and improved Stand Firm mobile app. Like never before, this new tool is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. On the Stand Firm app, you can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the new Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes on our media player while conveniently going about your day. And you can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on our main feed so you can stay up to date on local and national news. Download the Stand Firm app on your mobile browser by visiting frc.org/app. That's frc.org/app.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com, talking about the targeting of police officers in the wake of the George Floyd death in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My guest, staying over from the previous segment, former chief of police of Baton Rouge, Greg Ferris, also served as sheriff in East Baton Rouge Parish. So, Chief, let me ask you this. The 4 years ago, we saw after a police shooting, we saw the targeting of police in Dallas. We saw them in Baton Rouge, where both police, city police, sheriff's deputies were shot, ambushed. And then in the wake of this, just in the last few days, we've seen literally over 100 police officers injured, some targeted with gunfire, knives. We've had one federal officer killed. So what effect does this have on law enforcement?
As we know, Tony, right now there are countless young men and women watching these riots across the country, watching police officers killed and injured, and they're making career choices. And what you want and what you have to have in a police agency, sheriff's office, municipal police department, are young men and women who have other choices, who are talented, who are educated, and who have the right moral character and who want to serve, but who no doubt are coming under pressure within them, their own selves, as well as from wives, girlfriends, parents, to say, do you really want to go into that? Do you really want to take that chance of being killed or maimed, sued, have your career ended under bad circumstances, and don't you think it's better if you try something else? And then on the other end of that terrible bargain, what you have is mayors getting elected and making pledges to put 100 or 200 or 500, whatever, you know, plug in the number of additional officers on the street to protect this city, and then having a very bad pool to choose from, but having to hit, you know, politically having made a commitment to hit that number. So now you have more cops that are not exactly what you need. It's really a bad snowball.
So the situation is only then made worse because you drive the very people away that would be attracted to a profession in which they serve the public. because of the violence. And so you get people who are attracted to the violence, and that only escalates the situation.
That is precisely it. It's a row of dominoes going down. It's not good for the public, not good for the police profession, not good for the city or county.
Well, we'll be watching this very closely, and I would actually like to have another conversation with you at some point in the future when this is all passed about the militarization of local police. That's a concern I have, where we've seen a transition in law enforcement, some necessitated because of the risk and the threats that are out there. But there is there's something happening in law enforcement that's in that front that's concerning to me.
And I very much share your concern. I look forward to our conversation, Tony.
All right, Chief. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to talk with you.
Thank you.
Chief Greg Ferris, former chief of East Baton Rouge, Baton Rouge City Police, and also former sheriff of East Baton Rouge. Only individual, I think, to hold both titles. All right, today marks the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre 31 years ago. 31 years ago, the Chinese army opened fire on the pro-democracy protesters, killing hundreds, possibly thousands. No one actually knows the count. What was it like on that day, and what is happening and unfolding in China today? Joining me now to talk about this is Bob Fu. He was one of the student leaders in the Tiananmen Square protest. He is now the president of China Aid, and he is an advocate for human rights and religious freedom. And we work very closely with him on a number of issues. Bob, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for having me.
Bob, I want you to go back, take our listeners back 31 years ago to what unfolded there in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah, thank you for having me at this very historic anniversary moment. 31 years ago this week, I was sitting at the Tiananmen Square, along with the hundreds of thousands of other fellow students and citizens marching on the street in Beijing and other cities, basically demanding for more human rights and democracy and freedom and less corruption. And then we were met with, of course, tanks and machine guns, and thousands of lives were murdered. And yet the Chinese Communist Party, up until even today, 31 years later, still denied there is anybody from the student or citizen killed by the so-called People's Liberation Army sent by the Chinese evil regime. So this kind of, you know, cover up, the pattern continues, of course, and it's amplified by this evil, you can call it the Communist Party virus, and it's inflicting now, because of the cover up, it's inflicting over 5 million globally, and the cost over 100,000 American lives already. So that's what I feel, you know, we have to really call what it is and hold the Communist Party accountable. And we cannot allow their continuing business as usual with the U.S.-China and relations, and honestly, China, you know, Chinese Communist Party versus the world, to enable the Communist Party in whatever way to continue this onslaught without being held accountable.
Bob, with what we see happening in Hong Kong right now, in fact, they were denied the ability to have the vigil that they have every year in remembrance of Tiananmen Square, although some went ahead and did it. Are there parallels to what we see unfolding in Hong Kong now as to what happened 31 years ago in Tiananmen Square?
Certainly, there is a clear parallel, and look, this is the first year in 30 years since the Tiananmen massacre, both the residents in Hong Kong and Macau are totally banned from holding a candlelight vigil, a peaceful vigil, usually attracted hundreds of thousands to a few millions for Hong Kong citizens. And yet this year they were blocked. And I really applaud the bravery for the Hong Kong residents that today many of them just chose to took to the street with the candlelight and continued their rally. But you know, with the Hong Kong regime's opposition by force. So the danger that Hong Kong right now is faced is very much like both in its legal format and its the action format that we had faced 31 years ago at the Tiananmen Square. I mean, this last week, the Chinese Communist Party is rubber stamped, I mean, through its so-called People's Congress, imposing for the first time since the so-called handover to Hong Kong to Chinese regime in 1997 by the British authority, this so-called national security law. According to this law, not only the Chinese mainland Chinese national security law will be applied in Hong Kong in the same nature and format, but also it will establish all the mechanism and Chinese communist security apparatus, from the state security agents to national security agents to the secret police in Hong Kong territory. So basically, not only that 7.5 million Hongkongese are going to be subject for forced arrest, arbitrary detention, to enforced disappearance, as many thousands of mainland Chinese had been experiencing. And a million Uyghurs are being in the concentration camp, and hundreds of thousands of Christians are being detained, arrested. And but also this kind of this new law enshrined the mechanism for all the foreigners. You know, you're talking about it. We have 85,000 Americans living in Hong Kong, and you know, many other hundreds of thousands of foreigners in Hong Kong are doing business. And according to this law, so any foreigners who is deemed as any in any way collaborating or association or connection with the so-called subversive forces, means these peaceful protesters and the students' leaders in Hong Kong, would be subject for this national security law, punishment and imprisonment. And so this is certainly a day, I mean, of a declaration of the so-called one country, two systems death, essentially, when the British government handed over to China. Remember, mm-hmm. in 1997, Chinese regime made an international commitment, registered in the United Nations, that Hong Kong will at least enjoy 50 years of a capitalist system with the rule of law and basic protection and an independent judiciary. And now, from that last week, that day when the Communist Party imposed this law, that system is gone. So essentially, Hong Kong is already a one country, one system, as President Trump announced last Friday. It's a one country, one communist system. So I think I applaud President Trump's bold initiative and proclamation on Friday, basically make the declaration and instruct Secretary Pompeo to notify Congress that Hong Kong is no more autonomous region according to the Hong Kong U.S. Relations that act, that the business preferential treatment, from the tariffs to the extradition to the currency, you know, Hong Kong dollar with the U.S. dollars. This all has to be reversed and reconsidered. Yes, and officials should be held accountable and being sanctioned according to the Magnitsky Act.
Bob, we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you one final question. When you look back 31 years ago in China, let's focus on China for a moment. Where would you place things today in China? Have they gotten worse? Were they the same? What are we seeing? What is the trajectory of China as you see it when it pertains to human rights, religious freedom?
In terms of human rights and religious freedom and freedom of press and assembly, this time in China today is the worst since the beginning of Cultural Revolution. I mean, I used to see since the ending. And now, even compared to what Chairman Mao has done, I think President Xi, this Emperor Xi has done, is in many areas has been far worse already. I mean, we're talking about organ harvesting. We'll talk about the penetrating in a global civilization by supporting the Antifa revolution in the U.S. soil. I think the Attorney General has already alluded to that, and I have clear evidence showing the Revolutionary Communist Party U.S. is the main source for this Antifa instigated rice loadings in the U.S. soil right now we're witnessing. So this is the danger, not only in the border area of China or Hong Kong. The Communist Party is an existential threat now to the whole civilization. We need to
Bob Fu, hard. Bob Fu, we thank you for joining us today, but I also want to thank you for the tremendous work that you do as president of China Aid Association, advancing human rights, religious freedom in China and around the world. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for your leadership, Tony.
All right. Bob Fu, founder and president of China Aid Association. We work very closely with him on issues of religious freedom and human rights. If you'd like to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and check it out. All right. I know some of you have been waiting for this, the poll question from yesterday. If you've forgotten, the poll question was this: do you support the steps President Trump has taken to restore order? A lot of you responded to that, a lot. In fact, the numbers were overwhelming. And wait a minute, I can't read it. Well, I'll just say this. 97% of you said yes. 3% said no. 97% said you support the president's steps to restore order. All right, until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.